Well, good afternoon, everyone. This recent trip that I took was up into the mountains here in northern Thailand, and I visited a small village called Ban Wat Chan, which is, if you translate that into English, it means the Temple of the Moon Village. And again, this village is high in the mountains. And I went there to look at several of the King and Queen of Thailand's projects to find a place where we might be able to send some young people who are coming over this summer to volunteer to teach English and to teach computer among the hill tribe people, the poor and underprivileged among the hill tribes. Now, all the people in this area are members of the Karen tribal group. And the little village I visited has about 100 households and possibly in the neighborhood of 500 people. Now, at this location, which is, by the way, a very beautiful area and a lot of pine trees because it's a very high altitude, a lot of pine trees, very clean air, it's a very beautiful place. There are several royal projects of the king and queen there. And these projects are very helpful because the mountain people can learn about the forests and learn about organic gardening, fish farming, and other very useful skills while visiting these royal projects. And they also learn how to preserve the forest. This is very important for Thailand because the forests of northern Thailand are quickly disappearing due to illegal clearing. And every year at this time, about February and March, there's very little rainfall in Thailand. And so land poachers use this time to clear forest land by burning so they can go ahead and plant corn, cabbages, or some other kind of plantation cash crop. Now, while on this journey from the main road into the mountains on the way to Ban Wat Chan, I saw no forest fires and saw very little illegal clearing. So it appears that the King and Queen's project here is successful, at least in this part of the northern mountains. At one of the King's projects, I met a young man, a young Karen man, who worked for the King's organic vegetable farming demonstration project, and his name was Kasan. He was about 30 years old, very pleasant, very nice young man, very courteous, respectful, and we had several very good conversations together. He took me to see a Christian school that has over 700 students, and this school is where he attended when he was young. Now, many of these 700 students are orphans because there is a lot of disease and other things that go on in the mountains that create families where either one or both of the parents are missing, and the children grow up with either a single parent or no parents. The children at the school can study to Ma 6, it's called in Thailand, and that is equivalent to our Western high school level. Then they have to go down to a larger city because the education is not available in the mountains. They must go to a larger city in order to pursue further education. This creates serious problems because the young people come from poor families. And again, many are orphans, and they cannot afford to continue their schooling. I met the headmaster of the school, and he would like to send some of his graduating M6 students to Legacy Institute Leadership Training School. And so we're looking into that. But let's return to my talk with Khun Kanan from the King's Project. I asked him if he was happy working for the King's Project. He said yes, he was happy, but he didn't make very much money. He said that he had a lot of satisfaction helping the king. I told him that if he was happy and the money that he made was sufficient for his needs, he should be content. Kanan was happy, but not really content. Why? What are he and other young people looking for in their lives? What is missing? What does it take to not only be happy, but also be content? Young people today are not content. Around the world, more and more young people have access to more and more physical things. The world is becoming more and more connected than ever before. And fewer people in the world live in isolation. Even high in the mountains of northern Thailand, the people have radios, televisions, computers, and even satellite internet. The school I visited had satellite internet. So one would think that all the modern conveniences and materialistic possessions would make people happy. But they don't. What is wrong with our modern world, and why does it not produce contentment? Canaan is a Christian, and in this remote mountain region, the Karen people are mostly Buddhist or Christian. There are still a few animists in some of the very, very remote areas in the mountains, but they are very, very few. Now, as a Christian, Canaan should be able to turn to the Bible to find the answer to contentment. And that is what we are going to do. What brings contentment? You know, it is a paradox that the more young people are exposed to the materialism of this world, the more discontent they become. Now, one would think this should be just the opposite. It should not be true. It should be the more we have, the happier we should be, right? Once we have enough food, clothing, shelter, and a chance for improvement in our lives through education and other means, shouldn't we all be content? I remember a very important lesson that I learned a number of years ago as a servant of God. I left being a minister and pastor in America to pursue business in Bangkok. I thought that if I could make a lot of money, then I could take care of my family and use the profits to help preach the gospel of the kingdom in Thailand and neighboring countries. Wrong, wrong, wrong. There was a big problem. Business is not easy. It took all my time and hard work to try to make money. There was no time for God's work. The businesses I started took up all my time and all my attention. My faith in God became less and less, and my troubles more. I was unhappy, and I was discontent. I should have read my Bible. Please turn to Matthew 6 and verse 24. Matthew 6 and verse 24. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and the pursuit of wealth. Serving God is an act of faith because one must rely on Him to supply all their needs. We must learn to trust God instead of our money. It is impossible to have faith in God and faith in money. One of the problems that young people face today is the constant advertising. This is a very serious problem. Constant advertising on radio, TV, internet, music, videos, and all other media that sends them a very powerful message that they cannot be happy, they cannot be content, until they are able to buy a certain kind of soap or shampoo or shoes or hand phone or eyeglasses or clothing or motorcycle or music DVDs or TVs or computers or iPods, etc., etc., etc. The message that is constantly reaching the hearts and minds of our young people is that they need to have all these physical things in order to be happy and in order to be content. This barrage is endless, and it even attacks our subconscious thinking. And as media reaches high into the mountains, so does this kind of brainwashing that you cannot be happy nor content without lots and lots of money so you can buy lots and lots of things. Not only that, you have to have the latest model and style of things. The pursuit of all that advertising tells you that you need and must have is endless. So you chase and chase after more and more money to buy more and more things, and it never, ever stops. Please turn to Luke 12 and verse 16. Then Jesus spoke a parable to them, and he said, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. He thought within himself, saying, 'Well, what shall I do? I don't have any more room to store all my crops.' So he said to himself, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and all my goods. And then I'll say to my soul, "Soul, you have many good things laid up for many years. Take it easy. Be content. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "Thou fool, this night your soul will be required of you, and then whose will those things be which you have accumulated?" And Jesus then tells his disciples, "So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." This rich man was intent on accumulating more and more riches, more and more physical things. He was building bigger and higher barns. In today's language, maybe he would be building a bigger and bigger, more luxurious house and getting bigger and bigger, more expensive automobiles. But the end is always the same. Whether one is poor or rich, the end is the same. Death comes to all men, and then what will a person do with all their riches? Turn to 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6. "Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness." You know, God wants us to follow a different path, and he wants us to pursue entirely different riches, a different kind of riches. the riches God wants us to chase after are the riches of the kingdom of God. Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. These are the true riches that lead to happiness and contentment. Not a new handphone, not a different kind of designer jeans, not a bigger house. None of these things bring happiness and contentment. The pursuit of money puts a young person on the wrong path. It is not a path to the kingdom of God, but a path to unhappiness and, frankly, a lack of contentment. Please turn to Luke 18. We'll see what the Bible again brings out about contentment and about the pursuit of riches. Luke 18, verse 18 says, "Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, 'Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And so Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother.' And the young man said, 'Well, all these things I have kept from my youth.' So when Jesus heard these things, he said to them, 'You know, you still lack one thing. Go sell all that you have, distribute it to the poor, and you will then have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me.' When the ruler heard this, he became very sorrowful, because he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, 'How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.'" This young man gave up the chance of becoming a student and an apostle of Jesus Christ himself because he placed too much trust in his money and the security he thought that it gave him. The path to the kingdom would have brought him contentment, but he chose the path to physical accumulation of more and more wealth, which never brings contentment. The pursuit of the kingdom of God brings happiness and contentment, but it takes faith that God will take care of us and give us all our needs, and even sometimes a few of our wants. You know, God wants us to be happy. He wants us to be content. And so he promises he will take care of all of our needs. And again, even some of our wants, the things that we may not necessarily need, but we desire. He's kind. He's generous. He's a giving God. God does not want us to worry about the physical necessities of life and what we need to take care of our families. Instead, he wants us to trust him. He wants us to have faith in him and pursue the true riches of the kingdom of God. Not the riches that lead to sorrow and death, but the heavenly riches that lead to contentment and the kingdom of God. Finally, let's continue on one more scripture in Matthew 6. Matthew 6 and verse 28. Jesus is teaching. Why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither spin nor toil. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. But your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. God does not want us to be worried. He wants us to be content. He wants us to trust in Him that as a heavenly Father, He will supply all of our needs, the needs of our personal selves and the needs of our families for whom we are responsible. God is giving. He is generous. He owns everything. And it's all belongs to Him to give. The kingdom of God must be our goal first. If we are pursuing the heavenly riches, if we are faithful and trusting to God that He will supply our every need, if we are seeking after righteousness and holiness, godliness, all these wonderful heavenly riches, if we are putting pursuit of God's truth and God's way first in our lives, then He promises that all these other things, all the physical things that we might need, will be given to us. So in faith, let's pursue the kingdom of God, and with it, the contentment that this physical world cannot give us. It is only the contentment that God can give us.